Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking about a teardown that Monroe & Associates are doing of the Ford Mustang Mach-E and how that compares to the Model Y. Some interesting information there to share. And we've got a couple of updates on how the FSD beta is going, some news on the China-made Model 3, and updates from Rivian and Volkswagen. Tesla stock finishing up the week down 1% today to $644.22. That did compare to the NASDAQ down 0.8%. So this is the first week of trading after the FSD beta has shipped. And the reaction has been muted. Tesla for the total week, down 1.9%. The NASDAQ for the total week, also down 1.9%. All right, we'll start off here with the teardown of the Ford Mustang Mach-E from Sandy Monroe and Monroe & Associates. Definitely check their channel out and subscribe to them, sharing out a ton of good information. And most recently, they've been doing this teardown of the Ford Mustang Mach-E and comparing some of the elements with the Tesla Model Y, which they've also done a teardown of. So in their most recent video today, they are comparing the thermal management systems of both vehicles. This is something we've heard Elon talk a lot about for Tesla, specifically with the heat pump, the Octavalve. Elon last year said that the Model Y heat pump is some of the best engineering he's seen in a while, that the team did next level work, and that the Octavalve is, quote, pretty special too. I think this new video from Monroe does a really good job of showing some of the reasons for why that is. So they start off the video showing the Model Y thermal management system, and they had reassembled it, so it just demonstrates how compactly designed and cohesively designed each element is. And then they pull out sort of one by one the corresponding parts for the Mustang Mach-E and set them all on this table. And by the time they're done, they pretty much have the entire table filled up with parts. To be fair, visually that's not an apples to apples comparison. If you spread out the Tesla parts, it would take up more space too, obviously. But they did share specifics on the amount of hoses used in each system, and the differences are stark. So looking just at the hoses for the thermal management system, the Mustang Mach-E part count is 35 compared to the Model Y at just 10. The length of the hoses, nearly three times as long for the Mustang Mach-E at 18.5 meters versus about 6.5 meters for the Model Y. And then probably the most interesting part, just the weight of the fluid alone for these systems, 22.4 kilograms for the Mustang Mach-E, 9.2 kilograms for the Model Y. So that's 13.2 kilogram difference. That's about 29 pounds just in the fluids from these systems. I think this is a great example of that concept that Elon Musk has talked about a couple of times, where he says that basically the organizational errors will make their way into being product errors. Tesla's design definitely looks much more like it was designed by a single person or a single team, whereas Ford's just kind of seems like a conglomeration of a bunch of different things puzzle pieced together. That's why some of these hoses are so long, is because they just need to be rerouted and wrapped around other parts. It's a really good example of Tesla's lead in design and engineering. Monroe interestingly then kind of wraps it up by saying that, quote, "Bear in mind, this is the second best product that we've looked at. That's bonkers, isn't it? This is better than everything else that we've seen, apart from Tesla," end quote. They do have quite a few other videos on the Mach-E teardown, so definitely check those out. But we'll move on to the next topic here, which is FSD beta. We did get a couple of updates from Elon Musk on this on Twitter. First, talking about what the beta is doing for city streets versus highway driving, saying, quote, "FSD beta 9 is using the Pure Vision production code for highway driving. Beta 10, hopefully. Beta 11, definitely. We'll use one stack to rule them all, city streets, highway, and complex parking lots," end quote. So basically what Elon is saying here is that for the FSD beta testers, there's no difference in what they're experiencing on the highway than what there is for the new owners of the Model 3 and the Model Y that don't have radar, that are using Pure Vision for autopilot, navigate on autopilot, and any of the FSD features that aren't limited to the beta. You can see a good example here from Dave Lee of the software shifting over from FSD to nav on autopilot. And when that happens, pretty big change in what you see on screen. So I don't know exactly what the differences would be, but still clearly different code bases at this point in time. Elon hopes to have just one code base sometime soon. The other update Elon gave us on FSD 9 was on efficacy. So responding to a question that read, quote, "Is the data you're collecting from version 9 showing a leap in improvements?" end quote. Elon replying simply, "Yes." Depending on how that's quantified, I think that could mean a bunch of different things, but I think the simplest way to quantify it would be number of interventions per mile, which Tesla could easily compare the old version 8.2 with the new version 9, which, because they have removed radar, even getting to parity would be an improvement, but further improvements, even better. All right, next up here is something I saw as I was recording, thanks to a listener for sending this over. Tesla has updated their Megapack page. They now have an order Megapack page, which actually has some fascinating new details on the Megapack. So previously we only had this callback page because this is a business product, but Tesla now streamlining this and actually sharing their pricing information and letting businesses just place an order like they would for any other Tesla product. So to my knowledge, this is the first time that we have firm pricing information on the Megapack. As you can see, when you open up the order page, it defaults to 10 megapacks or 30.5 megawatt hours of energy storage. And the price for that, just under $10 million. At least that is the price for projects in California. If you do change the state, those prices are going to change a little bit, as will the delivery estimate. So for projects in California, it says the earliest deliveries in 2022. So just like the Powerwall, Megapack sold out for the rest of the year, most likely. And most other states actually say earliest deliveries in 2023. Only four states say 2022. That's California, Nevada, and Texas, which all have Tesla factories, obviously. And then strangely enough, the fourth state, Hawaii. Everywhere else, 2023. So Tesla significantly constrained on all their energy storage products. So let's talk a little bit more about this pricing. Tesla lets you order anywhere between 1 and 1,000 megapacks, which would be over 3 gigawatt hours of energy storage. And understandably, the more that you order, the lower the price per kilowatt hour falls. So 1 megapack in California, that's going to run you about $1.2 million or about $406 per kilowatt hour. If you scale that up to 5 megapacks, your price per kilowatt hour is going to drop by about 10% to $366 per kilowatt hour. Another 10% drop if you double that up to 10 megapacks, and if you go all the way to 1,000 megapacks, you're going to be paying $278 per kilowatt hour at the low. That includes installation, so then your only other cost is going to be annual maintenance. Tesla puts that at about 0.4 to 0.5% roughly of the total system cost each year, and they do say that that price escalates at 2% per annum or each year. So over the first 10 years, you're going to be paying about 5 to 6% of the total cost in that annual maintenance. Not sure how long that agreement runs for, but if it runs for 30 years by year 30, that would add up to about 21% of that initial cost, which actually doesn't seem too bad. Anyway, nice to get a bunch of new details there on the Megapack. Next up, we're going to be looking at the China Model 3, because Tesla has removed the long-range Model 3 from the China Design Studio. Now, they just showed the Standard Range Plus and the Performance. So as usual, with these kind of changes, there's always a bunch of different reasons that could explain it. You know, pick a side, whether that's demand or production or some other reason. I think the timing is definitely interesting, especially being so close to the introduction of the Standard Range Model Y, which, as we talked about, one of the potential reasons for that introduction could have been a constraint on the long-range packs. This is a move that would seem to fit with that idea. I've also seen theories that maybe long-range Model Y demand is just so high now that Tesla is exporting it to Europe, so maybe they're just shifting all those long-range packs for the Model 3 into the Model Y, but I don't think the flexibility is that high where they can just say, okay, instead of making, you know, 4,000 Model Y a week and 5,000 Model 3 a week, we're all of a sudden going to make 7,000 Model Y and 2,000 Model 3. Not really how it works, but let's say you only have, I don't know, 4,000 long-range packs a week, you could just put those all to the Model Y. But I suppose then why would you also introduce the Standard Range Plus? Because then you're going back to not being battery constrained. So I don't know. I think this is kind of a tricky one. Let me know what your theories are. I've also seen, you know, maybe just a regulatory credit play where Tesla just deciding to export all those vehicles and no one can really know on that except for Tesla. So let me know what your theory is in the comments today. All right, last couple of things here. First up on Rivian. Rivian had originally intended to deliver their R1T electric pickups in June. That was delayed to July. Now today we have news that that is actually being delayed until September. Auto News Today reporting that Rivian has emailed those initial customers saying, quote, "We know you can't wait to get behind your vehicle. Earlier this summer, we announced that deliveries would begin in July. However, the timing of the first deliveries of the R1T has shifted to September, with the R1S shortly thereafter in fall. I wanted to be sure you heard this from me directly," end quote. As for the reason for the delay, he said that, quote, "The cascading impacts of the pandemic have had a compounding effect greater than anyone anticipated. Everything from facility construction to equipment installation to vehicle component supply, especially semiconductors, has been impacted by the pandemic. Beyond these unforeseen challenges, launching 3 new vehicles while setting up a multi-vehicle manufacturing plant is a complex orchestra of coordinated and interlinked activities where small issues can translate into ramp delays," end quote. So you do have to kind of chuckle at that 3 vehicles at the same time part. Obviously those three, the R1T, the R1S, which are very similar, and then the delivery van for Amazon. But ramping 1 vehicle is hard enough. I don't think there's really a great reason to do 3 at the same time other than for Rivian to be able to raise funding and say, hey, we've got all these different business lines. But as Elon has said, prototypes are easy, volume production is hard, positive cash flow is excruciating. As far as the current status, Rivian CEO does say that they have produced hundreds of vehicles across their 2 production lines, one for the R1 vehicles, R1T and R1S, and then one for the vans. He says he's been asked why they're not delivering those vehicles or why they're continuing to test them. And he says, quote, "We believe it is critical to both our long-term success and your ultimate satisfaction that the quality and robustness of our launch products truly sets the tone for what to expect from us as a brand," end quote. So they're just not quite there from a quality perspective yet, but hopefully Rivian will get that figured out and end up hitting the September date. I know we've got at least a few listeners that aren't quite as interested in the Cybertruck's looks that are probably on this list for Rivian. Lastly then here, we've got an update from Volkswagen. This was from late last week, but I just came across it now. So we had previously talked about how Herbert Diess was pushing for a new contract with Volkswagen. There had been reports of a lot of discussion on that, a lot of back and forth. Well, Volkswagen has announced the agreement of a new contract for Diess to stay as the chairman of the board of directors for Volkswagen Group until October 2025. They don't mention specifically anything about the CEO position, so I'm not sure if that is tied to this or if that would be a separate agreement that would maybe come later, but probably a good move for Volkswagen. Diess definitely seems to at least be committed to trying to push for electric vehicles. So looking ahead to next week, that'll be the final week before the Q2 earnings report, which will happen the following Monday. So a couple of people have asked about earnings expectations. We'll definitely go through that at some point next week, but that'll do it for this week. So I hope everybody has an awesome weekend. As always, thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, and if you want to know when new episodes come out, you can also sign up for notifications as well. Of course, you can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you next week for the Monday, July 19th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.